Good morning, friends. I realized this morning that a cold wave of fear came over me as I entered the sanctuary because I suffer from CTS, which is Churchianity Trauma Syndrome. This is a Roman Catholic church, if you didn't know. It was a Roman Catholic church. I grew up Roman Catholic, and when you have Churchianity Trauma Syndrome, it usually happens at an early age. So I was 8 years old, and you start with your first confession before your first communion. So for my first confession, well, you need sins. So that's the first problem. So I had to get some, and I had stolen some bubble gum from my brother. I had said some curse words. I felt confident that I had some good ones, and I went in there, and my mother was waiting outside, and it was the old school confessional, those of you who have experienced it, you know, with the screen there, and I said my sins, and it wasn't that bad, and I got my penance, and had to say some Hail Marys and Our Fathers. And I felt like, it wasn't that bad. And I came out of the confessional, but I saw my mother, and her jaw was almost like dropped to the floor. And she said, "Philip, the next time you give confession, you must be more quiet. The whole church heard all your sins." And I thought, oh my God. I thought it was supposed to be a private affair. That was my first Churchianity Trauma Syndrome. But it got worse. Then a couple of weeks later, when I had my first, this is a true story, first confession, you have your, I have my suit, and this I thought was, not much can go wrong here. You could choose to receive communion either with your hands or your mouth. And I thought, well, I'm going to go with the hands. And it was even one of the, they had the altar boys, if you remember, like with the, if you ever played shuffleboard, they had these like really long sort of plates, the gold plates that if someone dropped the communion, that would catch. Now, that was for the people who received in their mouth. But since I wasn't receiving communion in my mouth, I was receiving with my hands, it shouldn't have been a problem. Well, I guess you can guess where I'm going. I get up there. I'm blaming the priest still. No, I'm not. I think I was a little nervous, and something happened. My first communion fell on the church floor. But I think some like Aborigine past life instinct kicked in, because I knelt down and I plucked that thing off the floor. I stuck it in my mouth and I walked to the back of the church. Now, these are funny stories, but that's what I want to talk about today, is not how we drop our communion, but how we pick it up. Because that's what this whole reading is about. Do you remember, Master, those of you who have read Autobiography of a Yogi, he has this conversation with a sadhu, I think it was outside the Kali Temple in Calcutta, and they're having this philosophical conversation. And this saint says to Yogananda, he says, "Wise is he who plucks the cleaveless leaf of unity from the bewildering world of duality." I've thought about that passage from Autobiography a lot. What did that saint mean? The cleaveless leaf of unity. If you've seen a leaf, you know, a leaf has a cleave. It has that little natural divide in the center. So he was saying a cleaveless leaf of unity, of harmony, of God's presence. And it's the most seemingly bewildering thing. How could it be so simple when we go out into the world and it seems so utterly complex, so utterly divisive, so utterly, like Master said, you know, the stand unshaken amidst the crash of breaking worlds. The world's already broken. So which way are we going to break? That's what Swami's reminding us in this reading is that if we can pick up that cleaveless leaf of unity, if we can seek God first, if we can love God, if we can go into inner communion with God, that is, it's the, well, Lahiri Mahashaya used to say that people get into a lot of trouble, right? Man's ingenuity for getting into trouble is almost infinite, he said. And he said, but the infinite sweetness of God is no less resourceful. Every time, right, we have a problem. Every time something happens to us in life, there's only but one answer. That's why I asked Dharma Devi to share that chant this morning. It's one of my favorites. In the valley of sorrow, you, just you. Isn't that so beautiful? It's the only answer. It's always been the only answer. But it's not to be a sectarian approach, right? It's not one of the last emails that Swami shared with me. He said, remember, it's self-realization, not Self-Realization Fellowship Incorporated. Right? It's about you. It's about us. It's about our personal revelation of God that's coming to us. But what is the kingdom of God? Christ is telling us to seek the kingdom of God. What is it? Where is it? Well, here in Silicon Valley, you know, you have a lot of investments. A lot of people have startups, and I imagine some of you have heard of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and things like that. And there's now, you know, hundreds of other cryptocurrencies. And anytime somebody comes out with a new investment or cryptocurrency, they have a white paper, right? Those of you who know the markets, right? They draw up a prospectus. What are the features and benefits of this investment? And I was thinking playfully that there's two cryptocurrencies we have that we can invest in here. One is Satchitanandam, and the other one is Sukadukadam. So Satchitanandam, it's ever-existing, it's ever-conscious, it's ever-new. And Sukadukadam, you get pleasure, you get pain, you get boredom, disgust, anguishing monotony. And these are the two investment vehicles that we can choose. But of course, we say, Sukadukadam. And Divine Mother says, are you sure? Did you mean Satchitanandam? No, I meant, we forget. Because we get allured, right? By what Yogananda called the poison honey. We get allured by the world. I mean, the world is incredibly attractive, of course. I mean, Divine Mother knows how attractive she made it. But it's not to repress that the desires that we have, but it's to find the desire for God in them. And if we can, Swami was such a beautiful example of this, to pluck that cleaveless leaf of unity. He enjoyed life, right? But he enjoyed it with the joy of God. He was so embracing of life. And I was thinking about, as I was reading for the service, seek ye first the kingdom of God, how it really represents the cross. And the vertical line of the cross, Yogananda used to talk about, is your relationship with the divine. It's your infinite potential, right? That vertical line. And the horizontal line represents our finite nature. But it occurred to me that the masters, their hearts are so pure. And Swami was like this, of course, too, right? Their hearts are so pure that they become like a sacred heart. That image, because I grew up Catholic. It's an image from Catholicism that remains with me. The Sacred Heart, that burning heart of Christ. And it's said that that represents Christ's passion and love for all mankind. That horizontal line. You see, that aspect of the cross has become so pure that my heart is a flame, my soul is a fire for you, just you. But then the avatar, their heart is a flame, their soul is a fire to help you. They're trying to help us. And it's their example. That's why we share every week in the festival. Greater can no love be than this. From a life of infinite joy and freedom in God, willingly to embrace limitation, pain, and death for the salvation, for our salvation. That's why they come. And they don't come to bring another church, right? The last thing in the world Yogananda came to bring was another church. He came to bring that spirit of self-realization. And how do we find that spirit? How do we realize that kingdom of God? This is where meditation comes in. That we have to have a way to awaken our sacred heart and our divine potential. It's in the silence of our soul. It's not in any sermon. It's not in any book. It's not in any teaching, right? This is why the true teaching and the way that Swami shared with us, of course, he was incredibly creative and expressive, and he was trying to bring us back, all these different spokes of the wheel, back to the hub, and to say it's Divine Mother. It's about God within us. And there was one time when Yogananda came out after doing some of his campaigns, and he said, he was, I think, maybe tired of giving longer talks, and he just said, "Meditate, meditate, meditate." And then he left the stage. He was encouraging us, right, to commune with God, to love God. And that, of course, that there's this, the science of meditation, which we're all, it's very mainstream now, but no one can teach us the subtle art. How do we enter into our meditation? How do we create that sacred space? And I think this is one of the great blessings that Ananda brings, is you see the light of God. You see the love of God. Yeah, we had tea with Karen and David Gamow yesterday. Not tea, actually, excuse me. A really good, one of the best lattes that I've ever had. Forgive me, David. I said tea. But David was so enlivened by the work that they do through Clarity Seminars. And I was so touched. He shared a story about one woman that came to one of his talks, was suicidal, and from his talk, it changed her life. We don't realize any little thing that we do, we have that communion with God, but we can have it all the time. That's what I was trying to say. The beautiful thing of Ananda is you see it reflected in all these different ways. You see it in people's clarity. You see it in their creative expression. You see it in how they're serving children. It's so inspiring. And then it gives us that way to love God, not only in meditation, but in everything we do. But we have to have that. We have to have something to give. That's why we have to go inside first. I'd like to offer you, I don't know if you heard about this scripture they just discovered. It's called the Cell Phone Yama Sutra. And it's very profound. It says, you use your cell phone. It does not use you. The cell phone is 6 inches, you're 6 feet tall, and somehow it's manhandling you, right? But I'm offering that as a thought. How about in the morning that you, before you get on your phone, before you get online, you get online. Get in that central line. There's just one line, right? There's just one direct line. And but it's little things. I mean, I'm joking with you, but I do the cell phone. I practice the cell phone Yama Sutra because about 3 years ago, I noticed my meditations were starting to get more and more restless. And the first thing I was doing in the morning, I was on my phone and I was checking and this and that. And I was just drawn into the whirlwind. And I put this stake in the ground. I said, no, it's you. It's you. Just you. And just that one, it's just these little changes, right? We're from LA, so we're thinking about these big, grandiose ways that we're going to change. But of course, change happens very gradually, very simply. So if we can, that's how we can do it. We have to go inside. And the fruit of putting God first in our lives, it's incredible. Because it's this elegant simplicity. If you put God first, that it just somehow, through some seeming mysterious hand, everything else falls into place. So if you can put more into that investment, more in terms of your heart, more in terms of your concentration. Think of the determination that businessmen have, plotting out. I used to work in New York City, and there were some people, my God, if they could turn that determination and focus to God, they would be realized very quickly. Master's foremost disciple, St. Lin, the self-made millionaire, a businessman. He could take that concentration power and turn it towards God. There was, I had a funny experience years ago with a businessman. This is I was with my father at the time, who was selling insurance, and I got roped into going to this insurance salesman conference with him. Don't do it. And somehow I was there, and it's insurance salesman after presentation after presentation, PowerPoint after PowerPoint, why every person needs insurance before they're born, while they're living, and after they're dead, on and on. And the funniest part was then at the end, was the big CEO got out there and his nice suit and his tie, and this is in Philadelphia. And he said in his kind of thick East Coast accent, he had no presentation, no slides. It was just him. And everyone applauded when he came on. And he said, I am the slide. And the audience erupted. It was like insurance salesman samadhi. I mean, people were clapping. They're like, yes, he is. That's the slide outwardly, right? The material success. Wow, that's what we see. That's what we want. But if we can turn and say, wow, I have that slide within me. I have that presence of God within me. I know it's there. How is this 50 trillion mud ball floating in space? What infinite power is holding it? I know there is a divine power. And I am going to run this spiritual inquiry to find you, just you.
Praise ye the Lord, all creatures, he who did make the mountains, he who did make the woods and fields, he who made the sky. Praise him who gave us glad. On high. Praise ye the Lord, all creatures, he who did make the seasons, he who did make the hush of night, he